Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This podcast brought to you by Gowin Canada, makers of Edge Microactive pre-emergent herbicide.
620 CKRM is proud to be your voice for everything ag. Welcome to SaskAg Today with your host, Ryan Young.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to SaskAg Today. It's brought to you by Milligan Bio, the leading buyer of heated and damaged canola in Saskatchewan, wants to buy your seed. Visit MilliganBio.com. And brought to you by the Arcola Co-op. You're at home here on Highway 13 in Arcola. On today's show, Pulse Canada wants chickpea producers to participate in a survey that's on until Sunday. Meanwhile, the Canadian Grain Commission revoked the licenses of Zegers Canada. Kevin Hirsch with SaskAgToday.com has more on that. And an engaging question and answer session during the Canadian Grain Act Review Summit being held in Saskatoon the other day. The farm weather is in its usual spot at the bottom of the hour. Coming up first on Sask Ag Today is Kevin Hirsch's report on the Canadian Grain Commission revoking the licenses of Zegers Canada and what that means for farmers. Keep it tuned here to 620 CKRM. Sask Ag Today will return right after these messages.
This is Sask Ag Today with 620 CKRM Ag News Director Ryan Young.
Sask Ag Today is brought to you by Johnston's Grain, your first and last stop for grain pricing and crop protection, and Farm Fresh Water. To fix your water problems, visit farmfreshwater.ca. The Canadian Grain Commission has revoked the licenses of Zegers Seed Incorporated, also known as Zegers Canada. The company held a grain dealer license and a primary elevator license at Holland, Manitoba. According to the Canadian Grain Commission, farmers in all three prairie provinces may be owed money by this company for grain deliveries. Any Canadian grain farmer owed money by Zegers is urged to contact the Canadian Grain Commission immediately through their website or by calling 1-800-853-6705. When a licensed grain company fails to pay farmers, the Canadian Grain Commission uses the company's security to make payment. However, as Kevin Hirsch of SaskAgToday.com explains, farmers with deferred grain checks more than a month old will be out of luck.
Farmers have regularly been told about the dangers of deferred grain checks. If a deferred grain check is more than a month old, it's no longer covered by the Canadian Grain Commission's bonding program. In the Zegers Canada situation, we still don't know how many producers are owed money or how much was in deferred grain checks. But when Ilta Grain went out of business several years ago, some producers were out a lot of money because of deferred grain checks. It's long been a common practice to sell grain and ask for the check to be made out for the next fiscal year as a way to even out income and avoid higher tax brackets. For incorporated farms, the small business limit is $500,000 in taxable income. On this amount, the combined Saskatchewan corporate tax rate is 11%. For taxable income of $500,000 to $600,000, the tax rate is 15%. After $600,000 in taxable income, the Saskatchewan corporate tax rate jumps to 28%. This is an incentive to even out income, and that's why deferred checks are sometimes used. However, accountants say other tools are available. A rather new development is the use of optional inventory inclusions under Section 28 of the Income Tax Act. Using this tool can help avoid the risk of deferring grain tickets. While a grain company may seem financially sound, surprises happen. To get protection for cases like Zegers Canada and Ilta Grain through the Canadian Grain Commission, don't have deferred grain tickets that are more than a month old. For SaskAgToday.com, I'm Kevin Hirsch.
Coming up next, we'll highlight a Q&A session that took place in Saskatoon during the Canada Grain Act Review Summit. We'll hear more about it right after the break. Sask Ag Today will return right after this.
We're back with Sask Ag Today with Ryan Young on 620 CKRM.
Welcome back. Grain contracts were the focus of the morning session of the Canada Grain Act Summit in Saskatoon yesterday. Many farmers believe current grain contracts are complicated and heavily weighted in favor of the grain company. Following the drought of 2021, many farmers were forced to pay penalties for meeting the terms of contracts. APAS and other producer development commissions hired Marlena Borsch with Mercantile Consulting Venture to prepare a report on how to develop a simpler, standardized contract. She recapped the report yesterday and took questions from producers in attendance, starting with Jean Harrington from Glenside, about 80 kilometers south of Saskatoon.
And I've seen this in a few places where the contract actually reads that the buyer does not have to take responsibility for the piece of paper that their employee signed on the contract terms. That's another thing that I just really fear in all of this, because I can't negotiate with the head office of Cargill, but I can negotiate with the people on the ground. And now you've said I have no right to question that, because we don't have to. We don't have to follow that. Anyway, but my actual question is, we used to have something called coal for delivery. Has that completely left?
I don't know. I just can tell you that in a lot of the contracts, actually, now that you were alluding to, it actually says that if you do negotiate, as you say, with your counterpart, meaning the elevator manager and so on, and even if you sign it, it doesn't supersede the contract. That's what you're referring to, right? Yeah, that exists in several contracts.
Right, and yeah. That even though the buyer on the ground agreed to this, we don't have to. So that's something to be really aware of, and yeah. I feel really bad for the guys, boots on the ground guys, because that's tough. Yeah.
So we've got a question from the Zoom participant asking whether or not the CGC has shown any interest in taking on the issue of even creating a forum for a discussion of standardization of contracts, or for getting involved in standardizing contracts across companies. So
Saskweet and I, we gave a small presentation to the Grain Commission, what, a year and a half, 2 years ago? To talk about the contract study and to get their feedback on it. And they said they found it interesting, but I don't know if there was any more feedback beyond that. So that's the only answer I can give. So they're aware of it, they know of the problem. I don't think there has been any action.
Yeah. When we brought this up with the retiring chief commissioner, the answer was they would like to do it, and it's in their mandate. They will not do it without direction from the minister. That was the answer that we got at that time.
Okay. Julie Mortensen from APAS. Is the mic on? Hey, good to go? Okay. So I have a bit of a multi-pronged question. Being a young producer myself, the contracts that we see on a daily basis are kind of what we've just thought was normal. However, seeing most of the information, hearing various other presentations like Marlene's, obviously we can get a sense of what contracts used to be like 10, 20 years ago, and that things have changed clause by clause that we as producers didn't always understand. I guess my question initially is, do we feel that because these are contracts that many of us have already signed an agreement to over the past 20 years, that the government feels less and the CGC feels less of a responsibility to us because we've been accepting it as status quo pro so far, that they feel like, well, obviously there hasn't been so much of an issue. This has been okay so far. Why do we feel invested to change now? Part of it goes back to, I guess, incorporation by reference. I feel like that's a very interesting term. And when we've been seeing these changes come about bit by bit, and we haven't really put up much of a fight from until now. Like, I feel a little bit, I hope it's not too late for us, I guess is what I'm trying to say, that we can find a way to come everyone to the table and standardize these contracts a little bit to protect the producer, because I think that the ability for these contracts to change bit by bit and eventually we become these 5-page long documents that many of us don't understand fully what we're signing on to, and there's not the protection there for the producer. It's really important for us all to be aware of it doesn't have to be this way, especially for us young producers who this is all we've ever known. So, thank you.
I mean, there's no doubt that the contracts used to be a lot simpler 20 or 25 years ago. And it was a very gradual process. As I said, when a problem emerges in company X, Y, and Z, they all say, oh, well, we'll take care of that and let's just add on another clause. And so it's a very gradual process.
That was part of the question and answer session yesterday at the Canada Grain Act Summit in Saskatoon. You're listening to Sask Ag Today on 620 CKRM. Coming up next is Ag Review with Doug Falconer, followed by Farm Precision Weather with Phil Spivak.
You're tuned in to Sask Ag Today on your voice of Saskatchewan, 620 CKRM.
Today's Ag Review with Doug Falconer of GX94 is brought to you by Karst Holdings in Assiniboia and Schlamps Integra Tire in Grenville, your locally owned Integra Tire dealers, and My Grain Exchange. Ready to market your 2023 crop? Head over to MyGrainExchange.com and try their low-risk grain auctions.
Recent price declines for Western Canadian chickpeas do not seem to be deterring growers from seeding the crop this spring. Most chickpea varieties dropped 3 cents per pound during the week ended March 22nd, reducing increases from last year, according to Prairie Ag Hotwire. Statistics Canada projected 400,311 seeded acres for 2024, 84,015 more than last year. Jake Hansen from Midwest Grain Limited in Moose Jaw says uncertainty over yield and quality from India, one of the largest buyers of Canadian chickpeas, is responsible for the recent weakness in the market. While domestic movement of chickpeas is faring well, exports are falling off a cliff, according to Hansen. Looking ahead, Hansen warns that any excitement about more chickpea acres this spring in Western Canada may be tempered by quality issues. He says that timely rains in April and June, as well as a dry fall, will create ideal growing conditions for this year's chickpea crop. Brazilian meat packer JBS expects margins of its Sira processed foods maker in Brazil to reach double digits in the first weeks of 2024, citing operational improvements designed to shore up the unit. JBS, which released financial results on Tuesday that were below analysts' expectations, said Sira and the U.S. beef division presented the biggest challenges for the company last year, when it lost about $272.3 million Canadian, compared with a profit of $4.21 billion Canadian in 2022. JBS shares dropped about 3% in early trading after the results, which were also negatively affected by global poultry oversupplies and high grain prices, especially in the first half of 2023. The weakness of the U.S. beef unit, the company's largest by sales, was offset by the results of Pilgrim's Pride and the strength of operations in Australia and the beef business in Brazil. France says that it and a group of other EU countries are pushing for greater curbs on imports of food products from Ukraine to prevent the destabilization of EU agricultural markets. EU members are debating how to grant Ukraine a further year-long extension of tariff-free access to its markets, while also placating farmers who have protested for months against EU environmental rules and cheap imports. French Agriculture Minister Marc Fesneau told reporters before a meeting with EU counterparts in Brussels that destabilized markets could erode public support for Kyiv, which would neither be in the interests of the EU nor the Ukrainians. The European Commission has proposed suspending duties on Ukrainian farm produce for a further year to June 2025, With a new emergency break for poultry, eggs, and sugar leading to tariffs if imports exceed the average levels of 2022 and 2023. Oats, maize, groats, and honey have since been added to the list. And that's today's Ag Review. I'm Doug Falk.
It's your Sask Ag Today weather on your voice of Saskatchewan, 620 CKRM.
The official 620 CKRM Farm Precision Weather is brought to you by Shepherd Realty in Regina, specializing in farm and ranch real estate in Saskatchewan. Call Harry, Justin, or Devin at 352-1866. And Moose Jaw Truck Shop, the number one choice for any diesel engine repair. Drop in, no appointment necessary, or visit moosejawtruckshop.com. I'm here with Phil Spivak from Precision Weather, and Phil, the forecast is looking pretty good, mild to say the least, and or warm.
Yeah, it's going to be right where we should be this time of year tomorrow. Now, tomorrow is the exception. The pattern is still, even though most days this week we're at or above freezing, we're still a little below normal, but we're at or above freezing, so we will take the good side of this. Right around the freezing mark this afternoon, working up under the sunshine, just a bit of a southeasterly breeze. Temperatures only fall to -9 tonight, and that's pretty close to normal as well. Tomorrow, the cloud cover starts to roll in. It'll be a mostly sunny start to the day, bright blue in the morning. By the middle part of the afternoon, though, clouds are increasing and thickening up, and temperatures get up to around 5 degrees, and the wind starts to pick up as well. There is going to be some snow, and it's going to be a sharp drop during the evening hours Thursday night, falling from that 5-degree high down pretty quickly below freezing. But then not much of a free fall beyond that. Will hold steady most of the night, right around -3. The wind will still be up in the evening, early nighttime, and then that too will diminish. Just a more of a gentle breeze through the day. Friday peaking at 15 to 25, but more often than not, it's on the lower side of that. But the snow that comes in during the night is going to produce 4 to 6 centimeters between Thursday night and early Friday. The bulk of that likely falling during the overnight, and then we'll tack on the sort of tail end of it on Friday. There may still be a few flurries near, though, on Saturday. Little or no new accumulation, but at the very least, still some flurries flying. But as you mentioned, we're into a milder pattern. And part of the reason we're not going to see much more accumulation is that temperatures get above freezing on Friday. It'll be fairly slushy, light, wet snow, a high of 1 degree. Now, the snow, even at 1 degree, has no problem accumulating on already snowed surface. So we'll still have the below freezing ground. That means there still can be some light accumulation, but it will be winding down. Saturday, same thing. Flurries producing little or no new accumulation right around zero. Sunday, we climb to 1 degree. Believe it or not, that's the start of a warm up, and we'll notice that more early week. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, each day tacking on anywhere from 5 to 6 degrees a day, so that at least by Wednesday, maybe only one day of it, but at least by Wednesday, we'll see temperatures getting into the mid to upper teens.
Thank you very much, Phil. The normal highs for this time of year, 5 degrees, the lows, -8. The sun rose in Regina at 6:44 this morning, and the sun will set at around 7:24 tonight. Taking a look around the province in Assiniboia and Swift Current, -1, Estevan and Weyburn, -6, Mooseman, -7, Saskatoon, -5, Yorkton and Melville, -9. And the hot spot in Saskatchewan is in Leader at 2.9 degrees, and the cold spot in Collins Bay at -10.3. In Regina, a sunny sky, east-southeast wind at 18 kilometers an hour, humidity at 29%, temperature -4 degrees or 24 Fahrenheit, and the barometric pressure at 102.0 and falling. Down the road in Moose Jaw, also sunny, southeast wind at 21 to 30 kilometers an hour, temperature at -1. Again in the Queen City, sunshine, east-southeast wind at 18, temperature -4 degrees. Back in a moment.
Catch up with all your ag news anytime at saskagtoday.com. Now, back to Sask Ag Today with Ryan Young on 620 CKRM.
This portion of Sask Ag Today is brought to you by McDougall Auctioneers, where you're guaranteed the best buying and selling experience, McDougallAuction.com, and Pattison Liquid Systems, experts in liquid fertilizer distribution. Fertilizer's just better when it's wetter. Pattison Liquid Systems, expect the best. Pulse Canada is making one more push for chickpea producers to participate in a survey. Director of Sustainability for Pulse Canada, Dennis Tremorin, says at least 25 producers are needed, and so far, about half have filled it out. The survey is about assessing the environmental impact chickpea production has in Canada, and Tremorin says it's a continuation of other surveys done in the past few years.
We've been focused on developing life cycle assessments for several pulse crops across Canada. We're trying to capture all the major pulse types. And the intent is basically we know pulses have a really good environmental story. But in the world of business, that environmental story needs to be told in the world of data, basically, in the language of data. And so this survey is really... The purpose of it is to capture that data from the source, which is what, from farmers, ensure we've got good, real representative data of what farmers are doing to capture their current practices to tell the best story possible.
The survey is available on the Pulse Canada website and takes about 20 to 30 minutes to complete.
The type of information we'd be looking for are things like types of fertilizer and rates, types of pesticide being used, the number of passes on the field and the types of passes. And that's generally the type of information we're looking for. There's also some additional pieces here on irrigation for chickpeas. And even we were trying to capture information on intercropping because we know that's a growing practice that's happening as well. And if we can capture that, we will.
Tremorin admits farmers are surveyed to death, but spoke on the importance of filling out this particular survey.
We have an opportunity to position ourselves in this world, and we see companies, especially in the chickpea market, asking for this type of data. And we would be one of the only countries in the world that would be able to satisfy that demand for data just by having this data set. So the idea really, if we capture the data in the preemptive state here in this way through a survey, we prevent other individual companies from approaching farmers. Basically, that's the idea is, if we can capture data at the front end, then we alleviate the market from actually going into the marketplace and asking for data again and again and again. We just basically position the survey results as a representative sample of Canadian production.
Once the data is compiled, he says work on a final report will begin.
There's an environmental researcher at the University of British Columbia that we've worked with in the past on this. And his name is Dr. Nathan Peltier. He'll be working on this again. So we envision probably after the summer, in the fall is when we would have a report complete for this work. So I think it would be around October, November, December is when we would have a completed report for this work.
The survey will be open until March 31st, so this coming Sunday. Speaking of deadlines, the CEO of the Saskatchewan Cattlemen's Association wanted to get the word out for producers on a deadline for particular programs to apply to. We'll hear more right after the break.
You're tuned in to SaskAg Today on your voice of Saskatchewan, 620 CKRM.
This segment of Sask Ag Today is brought to you by Degelman Industries. Look to Degelman for the most reliable, dependable, engineered tough equipment on the market. And Arcola Building Supplies, small town lumber yard, big on service. ArcolaBuildingSupplies.com. The last week of March is going by fast, and the deadline to apply for certain programs is looming. CEO of the Saskatchewan Cattlemen's Association, Grant McClellan, reminds producers the last day to apply for crop insurance is March 31st.
As we look forward to the year, we're getting close. It seems like spring in a lot of parts of the province. And I think there's cautious optimism out there from producers that, we're going to get some moisture as long as Mother Nature plays her part. But from our organization's perspective, we certainly want to remind folks and our producers out there to take advantage of the programs that are out there. We are fairly confident that, if we are faced with another drought type situation, that there is not going to be an ad hoc program. So we just wanted to remind folks to take a look at the programs. They've been adjusted. They've been improved based on feedback from producers. And so the deadline is coming up on March 31st. So we want to make sure people are taking advantage of that.
And just so I know, the programs you're talking about primarily are through crop insurance?
That's right. So that includes the forage rainfall program, which has seen an increase in the number of weather stations by 38. That was something that we had asked for. There's also additions and expansion to other rainfall insurance programs, including the corn rainfall insurance, as well as the increase to the forage coverage. It's significantly higher than last year, well over double the coverage that was available last year. So we're hopeful that that these improvements are going to make make it easier for producers to want to participate.
That's Grant McClellan with the Saskatchewan Cattlemen's Association. Up next is the market update. We'll have a look at grain prices at Viterra, which were trading mixed this morning, as well as a quick look at the Minneapolis Grain Exchange. You're listening to Sask Ag Today on 620 CKRM.
Here's the market update with Ryan Young on 620 CKRM.
Grain prices at Viterra were mixed at early trading today. Canola is down $6.90 to $5.93.02 a metric ton. Number one red spring wheat is up 14 cents at $2.96.14. The rest were unchanged. Durum $3.97.65, feed barley $2.25.58, chickpeas $9.92.08, flax $6.06.04, lentils $7.21.50, oats $2.73.32, yellow peas $4.74.72, and feed wheat $2.12.38. On the Minneapolis Grain Exchange, hard red spring wheat for May is down 0.75 cents to $6.46.5 a bushel. Coming up next is the Livestock Report.
The Sask Ag Today Livestock Reports on your voice of Saskatchewan, 620 CKRM.
The livestock quotes are brought to you by the Weyburn Livestock Exchange. Call Weyburn Livestock at 842-4574. Now here are the latest livestock quotes.
This is a market report for the Assiniboia Livestock Auction for the week of March 25th. We didn't have a sale in Assiniboia this week, but at the sale we did have on Monday, 430-pound steers in big groups sold for $5.35 a pound. 500-pound steers at $4.72, 550s at $4.44, and 600-pound steers at $3.92 a pound, and 650s at $3.75 a pound. 700-pound steers $3.90 a pound, sold in load lots, and 800-pound steers at $3.57.5. Not any higher, really, than our sale in Assiniboia last week, but they're not any higher any place else either. The feeder market may have reached a ceiling for a bit. It cannot continue to go up unless fat cattle go up. Aye, there's the rub. They do not sell those fat cattle by auction. It is therefore hard to get any movement on them. And that's a good lesson for all of us. Always sell your cattle by auction. That's the only way the price goes up. This has been Roy Rutledge reporting.
Now here are the latest pork prices.
This is Bill Alford with the Hams Market Commentary for Wednesday, March 27th. Hams sold 7,800 hogs Tuesday, selling a range of $202 to $220 per CKG. Today's sales are expected to be around 8,200 head, selling a range of $203 to $219 per CKG. Hams and red sows this week are up, selling in the range of 64 to 71 cents per pound live weight. Ham's cash hog price today is mixed, and forward contract prices opened higher this morning. On Tuesday, the Canadian dollar was up 11 basis points, with the daily exchange rate at 1.3572. The Canadian dollar is currently trading at 73.66 cents U.S. Breaking news on two developments that could rattle markets surfaced yesterday morning, but other than some softness in cattle futures, lean hog futures continue to trade in a range-bound pattern heading into the quarterly hogs and pigs report. Issue 1 surfaced when a container ship leaving the port of Baltimore, Maryland, collided with and completely destroyed a bridge over the Patapsco River after losing all engine power. The port mostly handled automobiles and durable goods. Only about 4,000 metric tons of red meat transited the facility in 2023, 2,900 metric tons of pork. As such, it is not expected to impact red meat export supply chains all that much, but the ongoing disruption will almost certainly create backlogs at other East Coast ports in the USA. In other news, HPAI was found in milk samples for 3 dairy farms in the USA this week. Additional positives are expected, and cattle futures dropped in yesterday's session. But no restrictions on beef exports are expected at present. That could all change rapidly depending on the importing country's sensitivities, but no trading partner has banned U.S. beef shipments so far. We will keep monitoring these developments closely, but for now, most market watchers are anticipating the quarterly hogs and pigs report that will be released this Thursday.
Coming up, the Resource Report.
It's the Sask Ag Today Resource Reports on 620 CKRM. Here's Ryan Young.
The Canadian Federation of Independent Business says Ottawa needs to do more to help businesses deal with the high cost of operations. The CFIB says about 200,000 small businesses took on new debt to refinance their Canada Emergency Business Account loans in order to access the forgivable portion of the loan and are now facing high interest rates. The federal government provided interest-free loans to small businesses to help recover from losses during the COVID-19 pandemic. Businesses that met the January 18th repayment deadline could access 25% forgiveness of their loans. On the markets, the TSX is up 141 points at 22,053. The Dow is up 256 points to 39,538. Oil is down 52 cents at $81.10 per barrel. And the Canadian dollar is at 73.60 cents U.S. And that's the Resource Report. If you missed any segment of the show, you can tune in to the on-demand Sask Ag Today podcast, brought to you by Gowan Canada. Gowan Canada understands the challenges growers face and takes pride in finding effective crop protection solutions. Visit GowanCanada.com to learn more. You can find the podcast at SaskAgToday.com and at 620CKRM.com. And that's going to do it for Wednesday's edition of Sask Ag Today. I'm Ryan Young. Have a nice day.
This podcast brought to you by Gowan Canada, makers of Edge Microactive Pre-Emergent Herbicide.